man, 5'7", entered the office of Dr. Stanley Biber. The young man appeared healthy in every way, but he had one problem. He wanted to be a young woman. You see, Dr. Biber specializes in transsexual surgery. His practice is in Trinidad, Colorado. So, in walked this young fellow, age 24. We're going to call him Jim. Seeking a surgical answer to what he considered a lifelong problem. Now, Dr. Biber refuses to accept patients without previous psychiatric evaluations, and Jim's had been excellent, placing him well within the criteria established by the Benjamin Gender Dysphoria Association. Jim had been on hormones for 2 years, and all during that time he had been dressing as a woman, living a female role, actually working as a woman hairstylist. But then Jim said to the doctor, "How good are you?" Dr. Biber said he believed that he was quite good. His worldwide professional reputation suggested that he was something more than that, in fact. But Jim continued, "I don't want this done unless it's a really good job." Dr. Biber said that Jim's should be a convincing transformation, including augmentation mammoplasty, even a nose job, and the results ought to be marvelous, he said. But 6 months later, Dr. Biber was to perform the final touches, a labiaplasty. Jim still seemed concerned. He did not want merely to become some half-man, half-woman freak. He said he wanted to become a real woman in every way. "Well, how real do you mean you want to be?" asked Dr. Biber, and the young man sighed. He said he would like Jim to disappear altogether. He'd like Jim to vanish and rematerialize in society as a woman so that no one would suspect his past, so that perhaps he might even marry someday. Well, Dr. Biber said, "Hold it right there." Jim realized, did he not, that no matter how convincing a woman he might become, he would never be able to bear children. Yes, Jim had no illusions about that. When it came right down to it, though, he just didn't want people laughing at him for the rest of his life. He wanted to live as normally as possible as a female. Now, could Dr. Biber help him? And Dr. Biber assured this young fellow that he would do his best. Now, Dr. Biber's had a lot of patients. This one is kind of a special one. We've checked on the case history very carefully. The operations were performed as planned. The replacement of Jim's male sex organs with brand new female ones, then breast reconstruction, then minor facial reconstruction, and after 6 months, the routine finishing touches, and that was that. Well, as it turned out, Jim's preoperative anxiety was for nothing. As a matter of fact, Dr. Biber considers Jim his, if he were an artist, he would say masterpiece. Because 6 months after the last operation, Jim, the new female Jim, started going to a gynecologist. That's right. And after a while, Jim and the gynecologist fell in love and got married. And that professional gynecologist, who is Jim's husband, after almost 4 years married, he, the husband to this day, does not know what you've just learned, the rest of the story.
This hour of Sound Off on KPRL brought to you by Buy the Book Heating and Air, your local reliable heating and air expert. Call 805-423-5119.
238-5775. 238-KPRL. Sound Off continues on KPRL, the North County's number one choice for news, talk, and sports. This is Sound Off on the right choice, KPRL.
All right, we're back. Darsha's in a text battle with the IRS, which I don't know if I would have the courage to do, but she's an accountant and I'm not. We got a little bit more school board stuff to handle. We got a text in. Hi, Kenny and Darsha. Love your show. That was a nice way to start.
Yeah, that's a very nice way. I like that person.
I've heard from a few people that the Measure M project manager now lives in Texas. How does she oversee the projects for Measure M if she's not living here? Is she union? Why are we paying salaries out of Measure M? That's a good question.
Well, we were told on Tuesday night that they weren't paying salaries, that it was allowed to be able to pay administrative.
Yeah, and I disagree with that, especially with the Measure M, because it said we said we wouldn't do it. The school district said it in the, here we go. The school district said in the Measure M language they would not. I know Brad said they could. I'm tired of this district lying to us. The district also said they would allow the elementary students to use the pool. I want proof that actually happens. You know, we learned the other night that the pool's already got issues.
Something with the lining.
The liner and the heater are out. I'm voting no on this and any future bonds until the diplomas actually mean something. And why was Ms. McCoy so rude? You give the union rep 6 minutes each. Surely the board could have allowed the community to have their say. Or was she hiding the fact that we didn't want you all to approve this bond? I don't trust the board anymore as far as I can trust them. Okay, well.
Well, I would like to say that I appreciate that there were as many people at the school board meeting on Tuesday at the Paso school board meeting. Thank you for coming. Thank you for showing your support for the community and not being taxed on $205 million that will end up being $400 million all said and done.
Right.
I have a strategy that I think we can use. This would, that they voted, just to make it clear, 5-1. Who was that one, Kenny? Yeah, that would be you.
Guy's a real jerk, I hear.
So they voted 5-1 to go ahead and put the, to float the bond on and have it be on the November 2026 ballot, which would be the general election. And there was a cost to that because the county clerk recorder administers the election, and her estimate was that it would be about $120,000. I might have just announced out in the board meeting.
You could do it for 10.
But I would do it for 10.
But see, here's the problem.
I'll do it for 10,000.
This is something else that, if we're going to, since we're back on the bond measure, I mean, there are a lot of reasons why I'm opposed to this bond measure.
I'm always trying to save the county and the city and the school some money, you know.
But that goes against the sort of socialist mindset of the bureaucracy of California. Because when you look at the cost increases for a government project, I think it's about a 50%. When you look at...
I think it's 3 times.
You think it's that much?
Yes.
Maybe we'll ask Grok.
Prevailing wage.
Yeah, the prevailing wage, I think it's at least 50% increase. So, but in, you know, obviously...
And the state gets their cut, and the county gets their cut, and the board gets their, you know, I mean, not the board, but the district gets their cut for administration. And by the time you get all of the people paid to, in order to get the bond, even... when it's approved, you have the consultants, you have the investment brokers, you know, that go out there and sell the bonds to people. My issue is this is $400 million. And in my personal opinion, I don't see how the district can afford to pay it back.
Well, they're not. We are. The district's not paying that back. The community's paying
understand.
It back.
You understand. The property taxes... paid to the district, and the district is responsible. It ends up being almost $1 million a month to pay this back.
No, I felt you had a really good analogy the other night when you said, you know, this is basically all we're doing is refinancing our existing debt.
It's a mortgage.
And people don't think of it that way. And they really don't think of it in terms of that it's really $400 million, not $205 million. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Kenny, I had a third question.
Okay.
How much was the bond issue to construct the high school?
Oh, back in 1981?
Yep.
Ooh, I could research it. I have absolutely no idea.
Researcher, you're going to be shocked. Ella Mae Butterfield was on the board then, and she was the main person that pushed it. And you're going to be shocked at how much the difference between that and this current bond issue. Let me know.
I will. Well, that'd be an interesting research project. Thanks.
I did go back to the 2006 and the 2016, and now here we are at 2026. So every 10 years, there's been a bond.
Right.
And the way they justify it is saying, well, our neighboring school districts are
spending
more.
You're not giving enough, Paso. Look at how these other people are giving more than you are.
How much of my income is your fair share? That's what it comes down to.
Well, again, you know, the bureaucracy, I call them the trust fund babies of California. They've grown accustomed to a lifestyle, and they want us to keep bankrolling that lifestyle.
Other people's money.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm bringing back my frivolous spending spreadsheet. So far this year on lunch, snacks, coffees, we've spent $38,000. Now, something that the listening audience could help me with is, because I was calling names out previously, Brad bought coffee at Spearhead for $4.35. And, you know, if I were making close to $300,000 a year, I wouldn't be using the taxpayers.
Charging it to the district.
Yeah, I wouldn't be using the taxpayers' credit card to do that.
How much is one of the little Keurig pods?
I don't know. They got plenty of coffee makers. There's one that sits in the back of the boardroom. But if you look at the accounts payable for this last, on the last board meeting, I'll just highlight some of them. Donuts, $64. Little Caesars Pizza, $61.99. Umi Sushi and Sake, $53.51. Fatty's Pizza, $29.35. Slow Cafe, $23.77. So these are like individuals doing this. Spearhead Coffee, $4.35. Full Belly Deli, $37.68. Starbucks, $70. More Sushi, $76.99. Red Scooter Deli, $61. Dolly's Donuts, $22. Red Scooter. I mean, these are great restaurants. I love them. I frequent them myself, but not on the taxpayer's dollar. You know, these are... I can't track this anymore because they won't provide me the names of the individuals. They tried to take this completely off the accounts payable, and I had to go in and argue with Loftus to reformat it back to the way it was, at least.
I think we can have a wall of shame.
It's just too much work to put the names on there. No, it was, you were doing it before and it was easy. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Did you just say that Brad Pawlowski went to Spearhead and put coffee on his district credit card?
If you go back and look at 20 last year, you would see that he bought a lot of Top Ramen noodles and stuff, and he bought a lot of coffee. And you could, that's what I'm saying, is they've taken, you, when you look at the credit card list, the Cal card list, they've taken the names off, so you don't know who the individuals are anymore. They started doing that October.
Here's the reason why I bring this up, is I've been a defender of Brad Pawlowski because he took us through a very tough time during the whole Chris Williams
cautionary tale.
And I am just, anybody in that school district who's an administrator who's using district money to buy stupid stuff like coffee or anything of the sort, and doesn't have enough freaking, I mean, I don't even think he lives in the school district. I think he lives in Atascadero. That, to me, is just an example of why people should never, ever vote for this stupid bond that they're trying to push through. And furthermore, I got to tell you, the way that Mr. Baker was treated at that school district meeting regarding the last district meeting was just horrific. When we came to voting on the school district bond by the trustees,
yeah, I agree.
The way he was treated was outrageous, and anybody on that board who voted for that to waste $150,000 to put that on the ballot should be fired by the voters.
It's called removed from office. Tarred and feathered. We need to get the tar and feathered.
Metaphorically speaking.
The disrespect that Lauren McCoy showed Burt Baker without giving him any grace whatsoever to finish his comments, and the other 15 or 17 or 7 or however many people were still there in that room who'd taken their time to go speak to that issue, and they were just totally told to hit the road. I'm going to tell you what, this arrogance has got to stop.
I agree.
And this has got to stop.
I felt it was pretty low class.
Not only low class, but if people don't get their dander up because of this absolute arrogance, I don't know what to do. I'm about ready to throw my hands up because I've been involved with that school district and this city for so long. I'm just going, has everybody lost their minds? Has everybody gone insane?
No. They haven't. And we have tons and tons of patriots in this community and the KPRL community. And thank you for being upset about that. And what I can add for the listeners, what actually happened was that the school board has a policy. And anytime you hear policy, just know that it is not we the people. It is not for we the people when you have a policy. The policy is that on any topic that they take a 20-minute interval, and that however many public comment people for that agenda item can speak within that 20 minutes, they'll cover. But they're given 3 minutes, and then you might have 6.5 speakers. And so Burt Baker was pointing out, he was right at the juicy parts too, talking about numbers. And she said, "Your time is up." And he says, "No, yeah. I still have a minute left." And she said, "No, the 20-minute policy period is up, and so we're done talking about the school bond."
Yeah, I apologize to Burke because I think it was very low class.
Let me just finish with this. You see, you hear emotion in my voice and aggravation and absolute
Thank
annoyance
you.
because. If people don't finally start to understand that if you don't get in these people's faces and tell them this is unacceptable, we're not going to just stand by and let you get away with this. It's not going to happen.
I agree.
Until that point comes, and I don't know when it's going to come. I don't know. But when that point comes, we're going to get some real correction, and we're going to start really thinking about those kids in that school who are being ripped off by the current system.
And the taxpayers in the community.
Because they're getting ripped. Well, yeah, but ultimately the kids who are in that system are getting ripped off.
That's the tragedy.
We have a lot of things happening in our economy that have to be addressed. And these young people have to be very well prepared to do things. And it's not necessarily because they need college education. They just need basic skill sets. And they're not getting them right now.
Yeah, they have
to. And we're playing these games.
Go ahead.
We're playing these games at that school district that are basically putting all these kids and their futures at risk. And that, to me, is absolutely outrageous, and I have no time for that. That's why I'm emotional about it, and that's why I feel like people need to get really down for this, because your kids and your grandkids and everybody who's involved in that district, which is a dysfunctional system, needs to understand that this is serious.
Yeah, I applaud Mrs. Loftus's efforts to, you know, try to shift to the CTE, the career technical education stuff. But again, I will stand by my position that unless you can do your basic reading, writing, and arithmetic, CTE is not going to matter. And I go back to the Kenny, analogy that I gave at the...
Kenny.
Go ahead.
People need to understand something. You don't need new buildings.
No, you don't.
You just need to work with... I don't understand how the St. Rose and the Lutheran School and these other institutions can do the great job that they do without this other stuff. I got to tell you, you have the ability to work within the context of what you have available to you to deliver the product to those kids that they need. And once the public sees that you're hitting those benchmarks, then they're going to go, okay, well, let's go ahead and allow you a little bit more and let's see how you
exactly
do that. But the way this is working now, every one of those people on that school board, except for one, every one of those people on that school board, and many of the people, and we have a lot of good teachers. I'm not trying to down the teachers. I truly am not. But we have a lot of people that in the world I grew up in, they would have been fired. They would have been fired. They would have been so gone. They wouldn't have even had time to pick up their little box with their little stuff in it.
And what did we do the other night after the bond measure? We gave a pay raise to all of the management, even though we haven't met any of our goals for the last 2 years. So, I mean, as long as you have a board, yeah, as long as you have a board that's going to be cheerleaders and just be led around by the nose, you're never going to fix the district. And they're going to keep pouring money in there, bad money after bad money. And the community needs, I know a lot of people are upset with me, but the community needs to understand money isn't going to fix the problem. And we have
Kenny,
to accept
Kenny,
that.
Kenny, one
gotta
last
let you go.
Thing.
We got music.
One last thing.
Hurry up.
One last thing. Would you ask the guy who is auditioning for ZZ Top to cut his beard because it's really annoying?
Okay. The crumbs. Okay. All right. Back in a minute.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Jerry Willis, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Dell stock soaring Friday. The PC maker experiencing major demand for its AI servers that are powered by chip giant NVIDIA, in turn boosting its profit and revenue forecast. The U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission said it's looking to get rid of a Biden administration climate rule. Chinese electric vehicle maker BYD unveiling a new self-driving chip that's significantly cheaper than NVIDIA's. Universal Music Group declining Pershing Square Capital's $65 billion buyout bid, calling it undervalued. Our neighbor to the north showing signs it could be in a recession. Canada's economy contracted in three of the last five quarters. Wall Street ending the week with a rally. The Dow soaring 364 points, S&P 500 rising 16, NASDAQ gaining 55. And that's your Fox Business Report. I'm Laura Cantor, invested in you.
Most investments today feel like second jobs. Real estate? You're a landlord. Stocks? You're a day trader. Crypto? You're a full-time researcher. You've got a life to live. Your investment should help you live it. That's why more Americans are choosing gold. Noble Gold has helped thousands protect their future with real physical gold. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com to get your free wealth protection kit. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
Looking for the perfect getaway without going too far? Experience the beauty of Allegretto Vineyard Resort, recently named Gold for the best Paso Robles hotel and best resort in the 2026 Central Coast Best Award. Enjoy peaceful vineyard views, elegant rooms, and the welcoming atmosphere locals love at Cello Restaurant and Bar. Discover award-winning cocktails recognized with silver for the best specialty cocktails. For a memorable stay or staycation right here in Paso Robles, book your visit at Allegretto Vineyard Resort today.
Hi, it's Alex at Glenn's Repair and Rental. Weeds are growing taller and days are getting longer, so come on by and get a Honda gas-powered lawnmower while supplies last. We also have Echo and Shindaiwa gas-powered trimmers and brush cutters in stock, so don't let those weeds get too high before you come on in and buy. We also have log splitters, chainsaws, trenchers, and trimmers. And don't forget, we fill propane too. So come on by Glenn's Repair at 5025 El Camino Real in Atascadero.
The Sound Off lines are open at 238-5775, 238-KPRL. The North County's listening to you on Sound Off.
Okay, we're back. I'll go to the texts. We've got conversations going on in the background, so I apologize, but yeah, it's Darcia's fault. So let's see. We have an answer on the high school in 1981. It looks like it cost $8 million is what this text says. So
index for inflation, we're at 25.
Oh, they don't want me to read that on the air. Never mind. it was about Paul Harvey. But I read it. I'll pass it on. We'll get it to play again. I was cued by that as well. Please name the school board members who are up for election this November. Joel Peterson, who announced at the last board meeting that he's not running again, after he said, no, you're right, we shouldn't just give pay raises to everybody, but I'm going to vote for it anyways. So Sandra Williams, she is not going to run again. And Jim Cogan, he's up for election, and I don't know what he's doing. But right now, Peterson is area two, so that's
downtown.
That's
Paso
Robles, north of 24th Street.
And west of 101.
West of 101, all the way up to San Miguel Town. And then Area 1, which is Cogan, is basically west of town, out to Heritage Ranch. And then Area 4 is Sandra Williams, and that's from Wilsona, south around the air on the
east
west
of 101.
Side, east of 101, west of the airport. Over the 46, I think, to the area around
Kermit
Union
King
Road,
and
Kermit
down
King, and down the
Union Road,
yeah,
Golden Hills.
So I know Dorian Baker's actively looking for people to run. So am I. I'd like some reinforcements. Oh, we got a caller. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Yeah, you know, the high school, you know, I attended Paso Robles High. The first year, we moved in the middle of the year, and I was the first freshman. I was the freshman that went there. They moved during Christmas time. That high school was not even a, well, the high school, the build, what you see now is not what it was then. It was only a quarter the size of what you see now. So for these people to say that it's, you know, that whole complex was built in 1980, it's a bunch of BS.
Yeah.
It wasn't. I mean, you know, there's a lot of new buildings there. They had a lot of, they had the main nuts and bolts was there, but they had a lot of portable, you know, the portable units.
Mm-hmm. As things were being constructed.
Well, no. I mean, I went 4 years there, and, you know, they did the construction. We moved in there. They had portables, and then after that, they expanded. And when my kids went there, you know, expand a little bit more. But for them to say that school is from 1980, it's not even close.
What year did you show up there?
I was there in 1980.
Okay. So that was, because I haven't gotten a good answer of when the first class actually started, because there's no corporate memory left.
It was winter of 1980. We were at Flamson, and then we did a transition to where we during Christmas, it was a 30-day off Christmas. Then we moved in to this school.
Okay.
So 81 would have been the first graduating class,
yeah.
Let's say.
And first cycle that went all the way through.
And I was told yesterday by somebody that went to Paso High, I think in the late 80s, that the old high school, the current Lewis Flamson campus, but supposedly that old building was condemned, and that was part of the justification.
Yeah,
well, that was before the earthquake, he said, because the earthquake was when? 2003? 2000. And then they tore it down after that. But the guy I was talking to yesterday said that all the cracks that they cited for destruction and reconstruction of the old high school had actually been there from when he was there, you know, 15 years prior. And yeah, they found federal funds in order to tear it down and rebuild it. So they did. But I had not heard that before. I'm a newbie. I've only been affiliated with the area for 25 years. So I have to believe what everybody tells me until proven otherwise.
And, you know, and another thing people have to realize, fortunately I own my house and I don't have impound accounts. I go down and pay my taxes. I read the tax bill. A lot of these people don't even look at their tax bill.
Yeah.
The bank pays it for them.
Right.
And it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate. They don't even know what they're paying when the bank pays it.
No, I have a neighbor that's the same way. He had no idea that this was coming up because everything's paid through his mortgage.
There's a flood control district on there. There's two other school bonds, the Cuesta bond.
Right.
No, and the last school bond, I voted no. Even my kids are in high school. You go during the summertime. They didn't even hoe a weed out in the parking lot. The weeds were growing up through the parking lot because they wanted that bond.
Exactly.
And they made the schools look as horrible as they could, so they would feel sorry for them. And I think that's the one we're paying on now.
Yeah.
And
there are two.
The whole thing about the asbestos. I mean, it's just all a sham. It's all a sham.
Yeah, I got a lot of concerns over the asbestos thing because they said, oh, yeah, there's asbestos. And we notify people. It's on page 40 of the notifications. So that tells you how concerned they were about it. And then we have on
I guarantee you Paso Robles High School has no asbestos. I guarantee you.
I tend to agree with you. And I asked in that board meeting on Tuesday night, I said, per federal law, I am formally requesting to view the asbestos management plan. You have 5 days. And so I've reminded Mrs. Loftus that I will be there on Monday to review this. Now, an asbestos management plan, because she said, can I email it to you? I'm like, no, because it's supposed to be 35 years worth of records. There's supposed to be blueprints showing where each of those asbestos areas are. They're supposed to be.
No, they call them surveys.
Yeah, they're supposed to.
Surveys.
They're supposed to be training logs. I will be amazed if they have what they're supposed to.
The point is that we need to.
I'll be amazed they don't have anything because there's no asbestos there.
Yeah. Well, they have to do it for the whole district, though. So you could convince me that when you look at the older schools, but it's by campus. So, hey, good call. We got to let you go because we got another caller. But thanks. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Hi, good afternoon. So I have a couple of questions. One of them is, and I've listened to that first budget presentation, or the first, bond presentation. I've listened to that 3 times, but I still can't figure out why we have all the need for the continuous maintenance. Does that not happen on a regular basis? Don't we have crews that work at the high school or other schools that go along and do the maintenance as is needed?
Is that a rhetorical question?
Well,
it's supposed to be paid for. What I believe is happening is that
I don't believe I can tell
you
exactly.
They're redirecting funds to other places.
To answer your question, simply no. we do the light maintenance. We really haven't been doing the preventative maintenance based off of my... If you go in and look at the school accountability report cards, and within that, you'll see the maintenance level for each school. One of the issues I had, and I asked to see the unfiltered documentation for the inspections. You'll have a what's called a facilities inspection tool report, and it's got 140 something things that they check. And what I found was when we looked at the 36th Street campus, what was being presented to the board was showing that it was fair to good conditions. But when you actually read the facilities inspection tool report, it was red.
Wow.
There was a lot of stuff in there that was not being presented to the board. And I pretty much, that was the primary reason I was in favor of shutting that campus down, was because I didn't feel it was safe anymore. And here's, you know, to kind of go back to the asbestos, sorry to hijack your call, but to kind of go back to the asbestos, if you looked at the old Georgia Brown campus, you had the leaky roofs, you had rodent infestations in areas. When you start reading about the asbestos is fine as long as it's encapsulated. By federal law, you can have it, but it's got to be sealed.
Yes.
But if it's been allowed to deteriorate because of rain, rodent infestation,
exposure,
and you haven't notified the community or the maintenance workers, we've just assumed a whole heck of a lot of risk, in my opinion. And I am really very concerned about that. From what I'm gathering, and I guess I'll find out on Monday, we don't really have a lot of maintenance records. So if, you know, somebody who's been in the district in the last 35 years contracts mesothelioma, and we don't have any record to show that we were doing what we were supposed to, I don't think we're going to be able to defend ourselves against it.
Well, and that's part of my question also, is that if we haven't been doing the regular maintenance, I mean, was it not in the budget that the past budgets, for instance, that maintenance should happen? And if it hasn't been happening, why do people think that voting for a bond to give them more money, why do they think these things will happen now? If it's all been mismanaged, mishandled, and just flat out not done, why does anybody in the whole wide world think that this board or any board coming up is going to do the right thing from here on?
Exactly.
Now, that was a rhetorical question.
Yeah, I know.
I'm answering it anyway.
So I can't go any further back than really my experience on the board. I know there were previous board members prior to me that were concerned about maintenance. Lance was. But to answer your question, I think when the district got into trouble, it shifted away from wanting to do the maintenance. It focused on maintaining salaries, and this is where the influence of increasing salaries, you know, going to Amsterdam Coffee and Spearhead Coffee. There are a whole bunch of things that there was no supervision as far as I'm concerned. And this is why I'm going to start reading off, you know. Brad Pulowski and the district want everybody to, it's just a cup of coffee a day. It's just a lunch a week. Yeah, but you're using our taxpayer dollars to go out and buy your cup of coffee a day and your lunch. And we're supposed to give that up too now.
And that takes me to the question of, I mean, I've listened to you guys every week. I listen to the board meetings, but everybody has complaints. But nobody has any kind of a solution as to how we can hold people accountable for their actions or inactions, as that is. There are no answers to that except vote them out.
Yes, ma'am.
I have good news. I believe that accountability is coming. And I will say from behind the scenes that I think there are things that when people say that they're not going to be running for office next time, it's a pretty good indication. And when people are resigning from office to spend more time with their family, quote unquote, I think those are good things.
Let me throw out some ideas. When you say nobody's doing anything, let's look at Measure M and my concerns with Measure M. Under Prop 39, we should have a Citizens Oversight Committee. That Citizens Oversight Committee...
When's the last time they met?
December of 2024.
Oh, wow.
They're supposed to meet annually under Ed Code 15278-15282. They're supposed to meet annually, and their legal requirements, they're supposed to give an annual report, and they're supposed to provide oversight of the spending. They haven't met since December of 24. The board hasn't been updated since January 25, yet we're still spending that money. So I would encourage citizens that are paying on that bond to demand an investigation of that, because that's, per Prop 39, that's grounds for a lawsuit. Got to let you go. There's a break, but thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right, back in a minute.
Peak Painting, we get it. Hiring contractors can be frustrating. Missed calls, no callbacks, endless waiting for even a price. We do things different. You can book your quote right on the spot. And to top that off, you will have a detailed quote and price before we leave. Painting is easier with Peak.
Hi, I'm Seth Peak.
And I'm Ryan Peak.
And we're the Peak Brothers. From cabinet painting to interior painting.
Exterior painting, both residential and commercial.
We're your go-to family-owned and operated painting company serving all of Slo County. We look forward to working with you. To learn more and book your appointment, visit Peak Painting at peekpainting.com.
Junior! You know why my TV is turned down so low? Last week, I went down to see Peter Lucier, hearing aid specialists of the Central Coast. He's a nice young feller who tested my hearing. He had me try on these nearly invisible hearing aids. See? They ain't got no buttons or nothing. By gum, I hear like I'm 29 years old. Call Peter at Hearing Aid Specialists. Dial 805-460-7385. Or use your smartphone and go to SloCountyHearingAids.com.
When it comes to sustainable energy systems and service, Central Coast residents trust Solarponics. Marilyn from Templeton says, quote, Solarponics installed our system almost 20 years ago. There are occasions when your system needs to be serviced. With Solarponics, work is completed quickly with knowledge and skill. This is as important a part of a solar company as the original installation. Thank you, Marilyn, for your Google review. When we install a sustainable energy system, we're installing a lifetime of as important service. Don't just go solar, go Solarponics. Solarponics.com.
Attention Central Coast homeowners. Is your water heater over 7 years old? If so, replace it with a heat pump water heater before it fails and save thousands in energy costs. Plus, new rebates cover up to 80% of the cost. Call or click to get a free, no-hassle quote today. Don't just go solar, go Solarponics. Solarponics.com.
Central Coast Tractor Work, with decades of construction and earthwork experience. They are the go-to outfit for all your home, farm, and ranch excavation needs. They do site prep, excavation, grading, trenching, utility work, demolition. They even do brush removal and lots more. They handle it all, and no job is too small. Call them today and get your project moving. And by the way, they work weekends. Central Coast Tractor Work, 805-440-6361.
Welcome back to Sound Off. Kenny promises that I get to talk about the upcoming election day, to be able to vote constitutionally on election day. What we currently have right now is 45 days of voting. So that's
even during primary season?
45 days of voting in California. And the first 15 days are for uniformed overseas civilians. So overseas gets their ballots 15 days before we do. Vote by mail, 100% out to every single name that is on the active registered voter rolls. In our county, that's about 182,000 active registered voters, but we've already sent out about 185,000 ballots. I don't know what the extra 3,000 are. There are confidential voters, and there are some other voters, but some people are receiving two ballots and three ballots. And like the sheriff of Riverside County, his son received five ballots. That was a couple years ago. I did want to mention to people that three different times at three different public meetings, I have made the request, you know, please, they're looking, the county is looking for precinct workers on election day. So at a Paso City Council meeting, at a water board meeting, and at the school board meeting, I gave information. Please go to slowvote.com, slowvote.gov is the new website for the county, county clerk recorder's office, to call 805-781-4989, which is the election worker precinct. And here we are again, three, 4 days before election day, June 2nd, Tuesday. I'm going to keep saying day because that's what it is in our United States Constitution. We have an election day. I want to get it back to where we have an election day with small precincts where ballots can be printed, paper ballots can be hand counted at the precinct. You can do this, people. New California State has done four or five statewide elections and counted the ballots right then and there at the end of the day. And you, if you have 1,000 people in a precinct, it's so straightforward, so easy, done, results in hours. In fact, it's in the new California State Constitution that the results from every election shall happen before 11:59 p.m. that day. So when I say it's constitutional, we have to get back to the Constitution in this country. This is a good year to do it. 250 years, let's celebrate America and what it means. That it's about liberty and it's about we the people. Where we've gone in California now is that we have every board, we have regional boards that are unelected, unaccountable. And that's exactly what's happening with the water board, with the school boards even. At least they're elected. But my issue is that the elections, I, in my personal opinion, again, have been subverted. And the people that are manipulating the elections think that they control the elections. And I'm here to say, no more. It stops. It is happening. There will be accountability. And there will be a time where we can finally get back to where we have an actual election, where we can trust who is receiving that ballot, that there's a proof of citizenship, an ID, a paper ballot, have it be election day. And everyone out there, I know it's so easy to just drop off your vote by mail ballot, but think about where we need to get to, and please take the extra 5 or 10 steps to go inside the precinct. It's at the top of your ballot. It says where your polling location is located. On election day, it's the only time that polling location will be open. It's at the top of your ballot. Go walk inside rather than dropping off your vote by mail ballot with the signature on the outside. That signature on the outside has to be verified. It has to be opened, has to lay flat before it's ever counted. Typically, that's at least 4 to 7 days. I say 7 to 10 days. And 7 to 10 days of somebody, 7 to 10 people touching that ballot, 7 to 10 days of processing the vote by mail ballot. Last election, we had over 2,000 vote by mail ballots that were not counted. Their vote did not count. So either there wasn't a ballot inside, there were 23 that weren't even inside the envelope. How does that happen? There were 1,800 that were too late. So the post office doesn't postmark them. When you drop it off at 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock into a blue box or the post office box, they don't stamp and postmark it anymore. Even Paso, Atascadero, our entire county, all of that mail gets sent down to the Goleta, Santa Barbara post office. So in order to get your ballot to be, your vote by mail ballot to be counted as timely, it has to have a postmark on or before Tuesday, Election Day. So if you can't get into your polling location, or you're in a mail ballot only precinct where you have to use your vote by mail ballot, then you can make sure that you go into your post office counter and have them put the red round stamp on there that says postmarked Election Day, June 2nd. Going back to the talking about the precinct workers, I've made announcements. Every election for the last 5 years, I have tried to encourage people to be part of the process, to be precinct workers. And this time especially, here we are. They've had 2 years to plan for this. Here we are again, where they're running short of precinct workers. And now I know that there have been many people, including the Atascadero Women's Federated, Republican Women's Federated, and the Estero Bay Republican Women Federated, that were told in 2024 that they could not adopt a poll, they could not have their own poll, that they schedule everyone, they take care of it, they do everything for the poll, trained people that had been doing elections for 12 years, and they were told they could not be precinct inspectors and workers because it was a partisan group. They had Republican in their name. But there are many, 3, 4, sometimes more than that, League of Women Voters, for example, that adopt a poll. And there's other organizations that have significantly leaning left with Democrat Party preference. And what's happened now is that only the right kind of precinct workers, meaning certain registration parties, are being allowed to work the polls. And I think that's disgusting. And then when we have our county clerk recorder, who, by the way, is on the ballot, folks, we have our county clerk recorder that is supposed to be in charge of maintaining a constitutional precinct county Election Day. And now she's saying, well, we may not have enough precinct workers, and so we may have to consolidate some of the precincts. We need to demand that we have precincts available to us. It's now only down to about 5% of the people that will actually go in and vote in person at a precinct on Election Day. So when we can get that up to 20, 30, 40, 50%, we have to demand it. We've traded our security for convenience. So every one of us is responsible, but please tell 10 of your friends. Have you made a plan to get your ballot in on or before Election Day? And have a fun time. Maybe go to Spearhead Coffee afterwards.
See who's there.
Have a group of people.
And if they're driving around in a nice fancy expedition. I saw a school district expedition going through the drive-through at Starbucks the other day.
So you can have 8 people in an expedition. Yeah, take a trip down to the polling location.
We got a text.
Okay, one more thing. Can I bring up Tina Peters?
You got 30
seconds. So, folks, Tina Peters is the Mesa County, Colorado clerk that was arrested, tried, and found guilty of crimes relating to an election going back to 2020. And many of you've heard me talk about it before, but she truly has been persecuted. Part of the federal election code is that you must maintain the ballots and the precinct, everything, including she used Dominion server, all of that data, you must preserve it for 22 months. She made a copy of the database before Dominion and the Secretary of State, Colorado, came in and did an upgrade, and she made a copy afterwards, and the files had been changed. So she was convicted on certain things, 9 years in jail. She's going to be released finally after President Trump pardoned her and the governor of Colorado has commuted her sentence. So June 1st, Monday, is she's to be released.
I don't think he actually pardoned her. But anyway, sorry, caller. It's too late. We got to let you go. But the text. So are you currently recruiting for those school board seats to get great board members?
Yes.
Absolutely. All right. You guys have a great weekend. Sorry, caller. We'll talk to you next week.
Call me.
This hour of Sound Off was brought to you by Mid-State Precious Metals across the parking lot from the movie theater in Atascadero. Honest, veteran-owned. Buy or sell precious metals with integrity. Monday through Friday, 10 to 3.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com. Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.